We'll track our way into the July 12, 2013 rain report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the comfortable studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with this rain report. 9/11 was a catastrophe the likes of which had never befallen the United States before or since. As a result of the World Trade Center towers collapsing, taking strategically important emergency communication systems with them as a result, ham radio became a point of interest as an emergency communications option to the Department of Homeland Security, DHS. Today, the U.S. amateur radio service is being utilized in varying degrees by Homeland Security. Randy Kerr, KD4KHO, is a trainer with the DHS and Office of Emergency Communications for Cherokee County, Georgia. Randy spoke at the 2013 Dayton Hamvention during the Homeland Security Training Forum.
My name is Randy Kerr. My call is KD4KHO. I'm currently from the Atlanta, Georgia area, but that's been a relatively short-term situation. I'm actually from Alachua County, Florida, where the University of Florida is located. I currently work with the Interoperable Communications Technical Assistance Program, or ICTAP, another acronym that's a lot easier to say. That's basically a program that provides a lot of different types of technical assistance support to states and territories and urban areas around the country, all kinds of different things, whether it's helping develop SOPs, working on governance structures, helping put together communications-focused exercises, working on different types of engineering projects, communications unit training, all kinds of different things like that. Specifically, when it comes to communications unit training, COMEL, communications unit leader, that's one of the training courses that's offered, and I'm one of the instructors for that. And then also the communications technician or COMT class, which is another one of the courses offered that those of us here who are presenting this morning are also instructors for. So a lot of different types of training like that. I've been doing that since 2008. Prior to 2008, I worked about 31 years in the public safety community in Alachua County, as I mentioned, and I started on the fire rescue side, and that's kind of what led to my interest in amateur radio. I used to work with EMS on a medic unit there. We used to work the University of Florida Gator Games. The stadium at the University of Florida is a pretty good-sized facility. It now holds around 96,000 people, and back when I started, it didn't hold quite that many, but it's still a busy place. Sometimes Gator Games are busier than others. But when I first started with EMS, we worked in the stadium at the portable radios we had for EMS were about the size of that projector. And you carried it with a handle, and it had a microphone attached to it, and that was what we used. Well, the problem with it was is it didn't work. We could talk to ourselves sometimes in the stadium, but we couldn't talk to anybody else. We couldn't talk back to dispatch. And so they always told us when we got sent out to a medical call in the stadium, take your communicator with you. So we had these guys that would go along with us up into the stands, and I learned, I thought, what are these people who are doing this communicator? Well, that's amateur radio. Well, that's kind of neat. Ultimately, after getting to meet a lot of the communicators who worked with us, I decided, you know, this is something I think I'd like to do. And so I learned more about it and got my amateur radio license and have really been interested in the hobby ever since. And in my public safety career, I ended up at some point deciding I was going to work in the law enforcement communications side. I ended up retiring as a law enforcement captain. I was a commander of a multi-agency communication system where we provided services for sheriff's office, city police departments, city and county fire, EMS, and managed a countywide radio system, radio maintenance operation, and so forth. So I ended up doing that for about 31 years, as I mentioned. One of the things that Florida did around the September of 2001 timeframe is we formed these different Homeland Security or Regional Domestic Security Task Force regions. And so my part of the state was the Jacksonville, Florida region, Region 3. It covers 13 counties around Jacksonville. And so I was the Interoperable Communications Chair for Region 3. One of the things, and we talk about this a lot as we go through the auxiliary communications training, is the importance of developing relationships and getting to know the different organizations you work with and who has what capabilities and that type of thing. Before we formed those Homeland Security committees, I couldn't have told you anything about the counties around me. We worried about our own little home place, and we didn't really focus much outside our county lines. And so one of the important things that we discovered through this planning process is, you know, we formed these committees. We had to work together. Yes, there was some grant funding tied to that. The grant funding was nice. It helped us get some things that we didn't have that we needed. But we learned that we can't just all go out and buy what we want. We actually have to have plans and work together and kind of coordinate what we're going to do in more of a cooperative fashion. Eventually, I became the chair of our statewide interoperability committee, which I did up until I retired in 2008. And we really, I think, made a lot of progress with interoperability and communications around the state of Florida.
You're listening to a talk by Randy Kerr, KD0KHO, a trainer with the Department of Homeland Security and Office of Emergency Communications in Cherokee County, Georgia. We'll conclude this excerpt from his 2013 Hamvention presentation in a moment. This is the RAIN Report, trackable on QRZ.com.
You are listening to the RAIN Report from www.therainreport.com.
How many people have heard of the National Emergency Communications Plan, or the NECP? The NECP is a document that contains a lot of different kind of strategy and planning information. It's kind of a vision where we as a country want to go into the future with emergency and response level communications. Well, this NECP has three goals associated with it. One of those goals said that by the end of 2010, all the different urban areas in the country will be able to establish response level communications within an hour for a routine event. So there's roughly 60 or so of these big urban areas around the country. And how do you know if those 60 areas can establish response level communications? Well, the concept was is those 60 places were big enough that they were probably going to have an incident or an event in their communities large enough that it was going to involve multiple agencies. And so they invited teams of observers to come out and actually watch how they manage communications. So as one of the people who got to go to a lot of those events around the country, one of the questions I always asked was, you know, what do you do with auxiliary communications, amateur radio communications? Do you have that built into your planning somehow? Sometimes I got some pretty, oh, absolutely, we couldn't do it without. And other times it's like, no. And when I'd hear that, it would bother me. I just felt like there's really something has caused a barrier here between public safety, emergency management, and the amateur radio or auxiliary communications community. And so when I learned about this auxiliary communications training and concept that was being worked on to help go out and begin helping people get kind of integrated into that National Incident Management System, or NIMS, and the ICS, Incident Command System environment, I thought it was going to be a good thing. And so there's a lot of different sides to the coin. You know, the auxiliary communications training really helps educate the amateur radio side of the coin and the auxiliary communicator side of the coin. But what's the other side of the coin? The agencies that need support and communications assistance of some sort. As a COM-L and a COM-T instructor, you know, those courses mentioned auxiliary communications, and now I know that there's some work underway, and some of it's already been done to revise the curriculum there. So it spends a little more time and emphasis explaining to that side of the coin exactly what auxiliary communications can do. And as I go around and I get a chance to meet and work with a lot of people from all over the country, we all have something in common, amateur radio. But outside of that, every one of us has some pretty amazing skills and expertise that we can bring to the table too. And so we have amateur radio that kind of is the common thing. But especially when we go through and introduce ourselves in a class, I see all kinds of expertise that is very relevant and very valuable to public safety and emergency management. And so as we've been to different places, you have counties that are in this country that are extremely small. They have very little in the way of communications resources. They don't have any money, and they rely extremely heavily in some cases on amateur radio to help. And I've been to some that, you know, their only radio person is, you know, I know old Norville, he's my radio guy, and he's everything to them. And if they didn't have that, they wouldn't have any communications expertise at all. We have a wide range of possibilities across from the very smallest jurisdiction all the way to the large urban areas. And, you know, no one's exempt from things happening. You know, the same types of things happen everywhere. It's just sometimes they happen more frequently than others. But we have a potential to get involved in a lot of different things. And so I feel like as we've gone around, I think the idea of auxiliary communications and understanding how to work in this public safety and emergency management environment, I think has met with some pretty good feedback as we've gone around and done classes. I think with the class we did here in Beaver Creek this week, I'd guess around the 19th or 20th one that I've been to. And we've been to a lot of different areas, met a lot of very interesting people that have all kinds of different environments they work in. And one of the biggest challenges, and in looking at the feedback we get after every class, is this class was fantastic. We absolutely needed it. And then one of the questions that we ask at the end is, what are the barriers you see to being able to use this? And a lot of people say it's our relationship with our emergency management or our public safety. Are they ever going to use us? And that's a barrier we have to cross. And so there's a lot of things that can happen when it comes to our relationships, and that's one of the real focuses of the class in some ways, is that a lot of things can happen to relationships. It takes a long time to establish one, and not something that we're going to do as soon as you finish the class at the end of the 2 days on Monday. You're probably not going to go wrap that up and end up and come up with a good relationship. It's going to take weeks, months, years to get that relationship in place. And once we get it, we have to work pretty hard to keep it there. And what does it take to mess it up? One little thing can go wrong, and then suddenly, you know, we're back to square one, and we have to spend quite a while rebuilding that. And it can be three emergency managers later, somehow this story manages to pass on for one decade to the next, and no one ever forgets. If only work-related stuff would flow that well, it would be fantastic. But certainly things like this seem to be the things that stay etched in stone for a long period of time. So it is one of the big focuses that we talk about through auxiliary communications.
That concludes our excerpt from a 2013 Dayton Hamvention talk by Randy Kerr, KD0KHO, a trainer with the Department of Homeland Security and Office of Emergency Communications for Cherokee County, Georgia. The RAIN Report is copyright 1990-2013 RAIN, all rights reserved. Now, for everyone affiliated with the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, bidding you very 73 from the RAIN Report. www.therainreport.com.